To Anya's surprise, the Sultan sprang up from behind his mahogany desk and strode forward to meet her, smiling with teeth bright white in his dark face, his hand extended.
Miss Creed! Such a pleasure to meet you. I'm a big fan of your work on chasing history's monsters.
She shook his hand. His grip was warm and dry. It was also like taking hold of a carved cypress root. Apparently, the job of Sultan of Rimba Perak didn't entail lounging on cushions all day, eating grapes, and being fanned. Unless that somehow gave you a grip like a vice. He didn't exert any more than the polite degree of pressure. It was just obvious how much he held back. What really surprised her was how young he was, and how handsome. He wore dark blue trousers with a stiff-looking white tunic and a modest white turban. He was nearly as tall as Anya, trim, with the grace of a stalking tiger. His face was lean, with pronounced cheekbones and large brown eyes.
Do you usually have your favorite celebrities arrested the moment they enter the country? If that's the case, I'm afraid you can pretty much kiss any prospects of developing a movie industry goodbye.
I'm afraid I have yet to entertain a sufficient number of celebrities to develop a proper protocol. Perhaps you will be kind enough to assist me. Please, sit down.
Anya was surprised by how modest the Sultan's office was. The desk, though a beautiful piece of furniture, was simple and clearly not designed to intimidate. Comfortable-looking chairs, upholstered in batik-like designs, awaited. With the shelves full of books and the sliding doors that led onto a balcony with palm fronds waving over it, it looked like a thoughtful man's study, instead of the office of an absolute potentate barely halfway through his 20s. The Sultan's brown eyes met Anya's. For a moment, they simply held gazes. She looked away. Her cheeks felt unaccountably warm.
Now, I apologize for the rather abrupt way I had you brought here, but you have, after all, involved yourself in the affairs of this country.
True, but your country seems to have involved itself in trafficking and stolen antiquities.
Would you care to walk with me in the garden, Miss Creed?
The palace occupied a bluff inland from the bustle of Mariapuri, where it was washed both by breezes from the sea and from the mountains inland. The shade of tall trees, spaced carefully throughout the garden, helped the breeze cool the air. It was still midday in the tropics. Anya was glad for her sunglasses. Wira walked beside her with hands clasped behind his back. He carried himself with a distinctly military bearing.
You mentioned stolen antiquities. I'd point out that most recently the artifact presumably in question was stolen from us.
Yes, but only after you stole it from the Knights of the Risen Savior. There were a couple of other thefts along the line culminating in their stealing it back, but ultimately they claim it rightly belongs to them.
The question is that true? To whom does this relic rightfully belong?
That's my question precisely, Sultan. Certainly, whoever it belongs to, it isn't a murderous gang of South Sea pirates. They'd have a pretty tough time documenting a claim anyway.
Before we go further, what happened to my men? The Philippine government was kind enough to send along transcripts of your interviews with their investigators, but they leave out a few details, such as how 24 of this land's finest soldiers sent out on that ship, but only one returned.
Please, don't hold it against Bima that he survived. I persuaded him that our escaping was the only way for his superiors, for you, to learn what really happened. He never would have agreed to leave his comrades had he not been in shock from his wound. And he was concerned about me, although I don't think that swayed him from his duty.
Do you know what his name means? Bima. It means brave. His comrades often teased him about that, did you know?
No. If they teased him when I was around, they did it in Malay.
I'm satisfied he lived up to his name, Miss Creed. And I am more pleased than I can say that he at least survived. Losing one man would be unacceptable. Losing so many... It may not be fashionable to say so, but I will avenge them.
It may not be fashionable to say so, but I hope you do. Revenge can get out of hand, don't get me wrong. But the men who did this are evil men. They've earned your vengeance.
You are an exceptional woman, Miss Creed. The Filipino investigator, a Mr. Bakza, mentioned as much in his annotations to the transcripts.
He didn't say the whole thing was a tissue of lies, did he?
He said that to you.
Well, not in those words, exactly. But of course it was, as you're well aware.
I am. Will you please tell me succinctly what happened? I would appreciate it greatly if you would also agree to give a full account to my intelligence staff. It will help bring the murderers to justice.
I'll be glad to.
Anya wasn't telling the entire truth. Given her life as it was, she never felt comfortable talking to authorities about anything in any detail. And she had the depressing certainty Sultan Wira's intelligence service would be distressingly competent. But she would willingly endure their scrutiny, if it might bring justice to the pirates who had slaughtered all those young men, and win back the relic. Anya gave the Sultan a quick account of events. It consisted mostly of details she hadn't told the Filipinos. She edited out all mention of the sword, as well as the fact she had shot several pirates. In her version, Bhima did the shooting needed to get them clear in spite of his wound. Anya also claimed that once out of the superstructure, they encountered no more pirates, and that they stole an unattended boat while the pirate crew infiltrated the ship, mopping up defenders and looking for treasure.
You didn't hear anyone talk about what they intended to find.
Not in any language I could understand.
They must have gotten some hint as to what the ship had aboard. Even as bold as pirates have become these days, it's no small thing for them to mount an operation of such size. It was overkill for a normal freighter. They knew they'd meet resistance, otherwise they would have fled.
The pirates seemed awfully determined. I know even a small ship like that, with cargo, is worth an awful lot of money, but those men seemed to feel something really extraordinary was at stake. And speaking of which, Sultan, what really is at stake here? What is it that so many people are willing to kill or die for?
Let's sit in the shade of my gazebo and have something to drink. I'll tell you what I know.
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.